If you have your Bibles, John chapter 6 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. It's a lengthy chapter, so we won't read the whole chapter. But I want to show you a text, share with you a text that has been on my heart now for a couple of days. I tell you, you've been sitting for a while. Let's stand, if you're able to, in reverence to the Word of God. We'll start reading in verse number 60. Share a message with you that's on my heart this morning. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." The Bible said from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The text this morning is found in the latter part of verse number 66, "and walked no more with him." You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Our Father, I need your help this morning. God, you know that better than anyone. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me in the message. Help me, our Father, this morning to be an encouragement to your people. Help us, our Father, this morning to understand truth from the Scripture that will transform our lives, make us more like the Savior that we serve. The songwriter said, more like Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of the one who died for me. God, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I guess in looking over the past couple of years, I have example after example in my heart and in my mind, and I would dare not name names of people that once walked with the Lord, and now they walk with him no more. People that once held in high esteem this King James Bible, they no longer hold in high esteem this King James Bible. People that once held in high esteem the old-fashioned music and the old-fashioned songs of Zion. People that seemingly have walked with God and yet walk with him no more. Jesus, in John chapter number 6, is going to share some things with us that I believe we can pick up on some things as to the reason that these people walked no more with him. I personally can't imagine what it would be like to walk with Jesus and see what he did for the sick. In chapter number 6, he takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feeds 5,000 men. That's beside the women and children. I can't imagine walking with him and talking with him and seeing what He has done and what He has accomplished in His ministry. And then one day, just walking with Him no more. That was a choice. I'm going to remind you of something. I didn't read it in the reading this morning, but look at verse number 67. The Bible said from that time in verse 66, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. In verse 67, Jesus said unto the 12, watch this, will ye also go away? I want you to think about something this morning. Do you think Jesus would have asked that question if it weren't possible? You see, Brother Wayne, I believe it's possible for Pastor also to go away and walk no more with Him. I believe it's possible. Listen, I'm not talking about losing salvation. That's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. Every one of us has been saved for any amount of time would tell you there have been seasons when we walked with the Lord. And there are seasons, Brother Larry, where we walked of our own accord. We're doing our own thing. Amen. So I believe if it weren't a possibility, Jesus would have never asked the question, will ye also go away? Can I say something this morning? I'd rather die. I'd rather God take me out of this world, Miss Evelyn, than to leave me here and be carrying testimony of walking away from the one that loved me and gave Himself for me on an old rugged cross. There's three things I want to bring out in the message today as God has just burdened my heart with. I believe one of the reasons that the many went away and they walked with Him no more was that they had the wrong motive. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me show you something. I learned something here. The Word of God said in verse number 2 of chapter 6, a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. Notice, if you will, down here in verse number 26, and Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. God taught me something right here that I've never seen as many times I've read this chapter. Jesus did not mind people following Him when their motive was they were following Him to see what He was going to do for others. Get a hold of this. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, there's a problem. You're not seeking Me because of what I've done for others. Now you're seeking Me because of what I've done for you. Because of the bread that I put in your belly. Because of the loaves and the fishes. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what that's got to do with motive. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, if you're a Christian with the right motive, you want to keep walking with God, not because of what He's going to do for you, because of what He's going to do for somebody else along the way. Now, that's a byproduct. God is going to be good to us that walk with Him. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. But that should not be the motive in our lives. I thought about our mission program when God was speaking to my heart about this. The proper motive is, Lord, we love You, and we love You because You first loved us, and we want to keep walking with You because we want to just keep watching You do great things in the lives of others. Amen. Jesus didn't mind them following Him when they were following Him because of what he was doing in the lives of others. Beloved, I'll say this to you. Those that are following the Lord just to see what they can get out of him have the wrong motive. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Our God is a God that loves us and cares for us. You say, Pastor, I can't imagine why they had the wrong motive. Let me show you here. Jesus said in verse 27, labor not for meat, the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Then Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. I've been watching the World Series. Brother Brad and I got hooked up with the Astros when we were in Houston. And we both learned about that little fella with that big stick called Altuve. And we loved him. We liked to watch him play ball. He gave it out of everything he's got. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you try to go to second base without touching first base, your motive will never be right. First base, you must be born again. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be saved by the grace of God. You must come to Calvary, a sinner, broken over your sin. The Bible said he'll draw nigh to him that's of a broken and a contrite spirit. Years ago, I used it in the prison. I thought about an illustration. And beloved, this is going to happen. You mark my word. You mark my word. This illustration I'm going to use is going to happen in the spiritual realm. You can take a guy and hit the ball plumb out of the park. Listen to me. He must run those bases. And that first baseman's paying attention. And that second baseman's paying attention. That third baseman's paying attention. And the home plate umpire's paying attention. And do you know what's going on? They must touch every base. Amen. Yeah. And if they don't touch every base, and the first baseman can make an appeal, and they can say, you're out. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, here's what the Bible said. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name? And he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You say, Pastor, why? They look so good on second base. They look so good on third base. Everybody thought they was going home. They didn't touch first base. Jesus, over and over in this chapter, he's talking to them about the fact that they did not believe. Our motive cannot be right without a new birth. I spent 6.5 years of my life in that position. It's miserable. When everybody thinks that you have something that you don't. A better way to put it would be everybody thinks you have someone that you don't. Jesus, if you look at the text here, I want you to see this. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said unto him, therefore, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. I want to give you something here. I want you to think about this right now. These are the people you see at a great multitude saw his miracles, which he did on them, which were diseased. That's verse number 2. Every one of these has seen him take 5 loaves and, two fishes and five loaves and feed 5,000 men. That's beside the women and children. If you give one man a wife and one child, and that's probably speaking very conservatively, you're looking at 15,000 people that God fed with that little lad's lunch. And here's some people asking for a sign. He's seen them heal the diseased. And they're asking for a sign. I want you to notice the order in this right here. In verse number 30. The Bible said, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe?" I'm going to tell you something. That is exactly backwards to the way it works. You don't see and believe. You believe and you'll see. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you'll see what people are shouting about. You'll see the peace of God evident in your life. And you'll see a brand new motive. All of a sudden, your life is not about yourself. It's about your Savior. It's about sinners. It's about the saints. It's about others. Jesus didn't mind them following him when it was about others. But when it became about their own belly and the bread in their own belly, Jesus rebuked them. The second thing I see in the message, I could spend a lot more time there. Make sure you've touched first base. Let me say something. There's three people that will know instantly when you touch first base. Number one, you'll know it. Number two, the devil will know it. I don't believe anybody has ever come to Jesus without a fight. Old Slewfoot is slick, buddy. I'm telling you, he'll try to trip you up any way he can. Amen. He'll never tell you not to be saved. He'll just say, "Not today, later, you got time." He's too slick for that. And the third person that'll know when you touch first base is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe God rings some kind of bell in heaven, because the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. I remember the first time I was at Indian Path. Miss Reba's not here today. I was looking over there for her. I remember the first time when they started playing that music. I looked at the nurse and said, "What's that?" She said, "A baby was just born." Yeah. Now you say whatever you want to. Just leave me alone. I think there's some kind of something goes off in heaven. A baby was just born. Somebody was just saved by the grace of God. Somebody's not trying to run to second without touching first. Amen. And everybody that touches first, this is the good part, is guaranteed to make it home. Glory to God. Everybody. Jesus said, "I've lost nothing." The wrong motive. Secondly, I won't spend much time here, the wrong mandate. Look at verse number 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that he would come and take him by force, they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He's popular. Man, he's doing great things. He's healing the sick. He's feeding people with just one little lad's lunch. He's popular. And they want to make him a king. I want to just say this to you. Keep reading your Bible. That don't last long. They go from wanting to make him a king to wanting to crucify him and kill him. The wrong mandate. You say, "Pastor, what are you talking about?" Here's what I'm talking about. Y'all get on board with this. You better be careful with them TV evangelists that tells you can just march into the throne of God and you can just tell God. You better be careful with that mess. Name it and claim it. You understand what I'm talking about? Honey, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is not to get our will done in heaven. Prayer is to get God's will done on earth. And the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit. Honey, let me tell you something about praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is the prayer that gets to the ear of God.
They're going to make him. Let me tell you something about Jesus. You ain't going to make him do anything. I was mixed up early in my Christian experience on lordship salvation. I thought you got saved one day, and then there would come a day when you would surrender to the Lord and you would make Jesus Lord of your life. I'm telling you, you don't make him nothing. Let me tell you something right now. If you didn't get a Savior and a Lord, you didn't get the Savior. Honey, Jesus don't need nobody to make him Lord. When we touch first base, he was Savior that day and he was Lord that day. Amen. You can cooperate with his lordship or you'll be chastened. And you can be chastened and even lose your life. The Bible said there is a sin unto death. That's not preached much anymore. But if you've genuinely touched first base, beloved, you can so live your life that God will not leave you on this earth to bring shame and bring reproach on his name. Makes me wonder about people that just sin openly and get by with it and say they're a Christian. Say they've been born again. The wrong mandate. I want to tell you this morning, I believe with all of my heart, we need to go into the throne room. But we don't need to go into the throne room to tell him what to do. We need to go into the throne room so we might find out what he wants us to do. Amen. The Bible said if we ask anything, 1 John 5, according to his will, we know that he heareth us. We need to go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane where he said, Father, not as I will, but thy will be done. Even Jesus didn't march into the Father and command and demand of him. They're going to make him a king. The third thing, and I close with this, there was the wrong motive. There was the wrong mandate, but there was the wrong message. Stay with me a moment and I'll explain how God's working in my heart about the message. You see, when Jesus comes over here, he's telling them about himself being the living bread that come down from God out of heaven. They know about Moses. They know about the manna. But they don't understand, beloved, that Jesus is the bread of life. Watch this. And Jesus, you come over here in verse 51. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Somebody said salvation's free. True, but that does not make salvation cheap. It cost God his son. It cost his son his life. It cost heaven's best, not leftovers. The sinless Son of God. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Sounds like Nicodemus, don't it? Can a man be enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them. That's why Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. We must be quickened by the Spirit. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of God, of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the wrong message? Here's where the world's message is. Oh, you'll just get saved, and then there'll be smooth sailing. Somebody tell that to the Apostle Paul. He's the one that wrote down that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. Being made conformable, watch this, unto his death. You think about that. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you want a life without trials, a life without problems, First of all, you ain't going to have it either way. Because man, it don't matter if it's a saved man or a lost man, is born of a woman a few days and full of trouble. The Word of God said it rains on the just and the unjust. But the wrong message is that message that teaches that Christianity is going to be the easy way. I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll be days, Sister Brenda, when we can smile from ear to ear and the joy of the Lord will be on us so big that the whole world can see it. There'll be days we don't have a smile. There'll be days our hearts broke. And if you're not willing to go through both days, then see, you're listening to the wrong message. As a matter of fact, I believe our testimony has more impact. Brother Junior, when we are living in the valley, Brother Ralph, God only knows who was watching you and Sister Shelby when that precious baby left out of here as a teenager. God only knows. But there was a reason. You couldn't go away. There was something in your heart. There was a motive. There was a love for God. There was a first base. I've been born again. I'm going to see her again. So many, like Jesus said in this text, they went away and they walked with Him no more. They went back and walked no more with Him. The wrong motive. Our motive is going to have to be right if we're going to continue with Him. The wrong mandate. It's not us telling Him what to do, but oh God, show me the way. We talked in Sunday school about Elijah, how depressed that he got. After the great victory on Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, they didn't stand a chance against Elijah's God. God sent the fire. God licked up the water. God licked up the sacrifice. God licked up, listen to me, the stones. You say whatever you want to, but that's pretty hot fire that can consume the stones that the altar was made out of. All the water, barrels of water on it and around it. And God consumed the sacrifice. In the next chapter, Elijah's running from one woman, Jezebel. Before us men say much, we haven't met her. I'm going to tell you, if ever there was a wicked woman in the Word of God, it was Jezebel. Elijah's down there under the juniper tree, wishing that he could die. You know what he's saying? I'm not going to walk with him anymore. Oh, glory, God, just give me something. But you know what happened? He didn't come to God. God came to him. I promise you, there's people sitting in this building. You wouldn't be sitting in this building if God hadn't come to where you were. In your time of depression and discouragement, God came to you. I thank God this morning that you and I can walk with Him until, like in Enoch's life, He'll say one day, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Just come on home. Let's walk with Him. Let's not be one of those casualties that walked no more with Him. Jesus said to His disciples, will you also go away? I want you to listen to this. Simon Peter, verse number 68, answered Him and said, Lord, To whom shall we go? Let me tell you something. If you've ever really touched first base, you can say with Peter, where in the world will we go, Lord? Where would we go? Where would we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And then Peter said this to the Lord. He said, we believe and are sure. See the difference in Peter and those others that said, show us a sign? Peter didn't want a sign. He didn't want to walk on water or do something fantastic. Amen. He said, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is there anybody here that believes?
Yeah.
And you're sure?
Yeah. Amen.
He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. This morning, the songwriter wrote the words to a song. I can't remember exactly the title of the song. It starts out, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear, have you heard his voice this week? Has it rung in your ear this week? The chorus said, he walks with me and he talks with me. And the sweetest thing you'll ever hear him say is, you're mine. He tells me I'm one of his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. It's personal. Mike, you can't be saved for your wife, and your wife can't be saved for you. You can't be saved for Jackson, and Jackson can't be saved for you. Every one of us must come one at a time, one on one, to the Son of God and say with Peter, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Little boy went home all excited one day from Sunday school, and he told his mom, he said, Mom, I finally figured it out. She said, what, son? He said, I now know God's name. She said, well, what is it? He said, his name is Andy. She said, really? Andy? Somewhere did you get that? He said, we learned a song in Sunday school. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. I'm going to tell you something. If you're here today and you've touched first base and you're saved by the grace of God, you can say he's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Amen.
Brother Grizzle, it's men like Brother Don that give me hope. It's one of the reasons, I guess, in my heart, and God knows my wife would tell you, anybody that's been associated with us through the years, older men of God have always had a special place in my heart. I look at them and I think these thoughts, I can make it. I can make it. But part of that is realizing, Sister Carol, I can't make it without him. I'm just as capable of going away. Jesus said, will ye also go away? Peter's answer is priceless. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege. Lord, it's a blessed privilege. Lord, it seemed like the crowd's a little bigger this morning. God, how encouraging that is. Lord, you've made your presence real this morning. How sweet that is.
I'm asking you today, God, Lord, there are people in this room that have raised their hand in times gone by and said, I don't know him. Lord, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. God, I pray you'd quicken in that heart. That you'd help folks, our Lord, to understand the need of the new birth. The need, our Father, to not go through the motions of second and third base without touching first base. Lord, we could just picture first base being Calvary. Come into a place where we see, Lord, what you've suffered for us and understand, Lord, that we don't deserve it. We're sinners. But, Lord, you are the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. Lord, I pray for those today that maybe some would think it's impossible. But, God, there may be people sitting right here in these pews that have been thinking about going away, wondering what's the use. Oh, God, I pray you speak to that heart. Help them to know, Lord, that the finish line is in sight. Help them to know, Lord, it's not time to faint. David said, the man after God's own heart, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God, you've been good to us. I pray, Lord, you'll help us in this invitation. In Jesus' name.